Thank you for listening to the Gateway to the Rockies podcast from Visit Aurora for the Raptors of the Stanley Marketplace. This is the show dedicated to telling the stories of Aurora, Colorado. Hi there, I'm Dave, the Senior Marketing Manager for Visit Aurora, with a very special episode. This is the 50th edition of the Gateway to the Rockies podcast, and I'm very excited to have a very special guest. You know, the strongest steel is forged through the hottest fire. Daphne Rose overcame a toxic corporate environment to become the owner of Different Strokes Paint and Sip. It's a space devoted to creating an amazing vibe, beautiful works of art, and a sense of community right here in the heart of Aurora. How are you, Daphne? Thank you for taking the time.
I'm great. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited that I made it to 50 episodes and I have you here. This is great.
Woohoo! 50 is a magic number.
Yeah, it is. It all started with your mom, Betty. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up and how she helped stoke your creative fires.
Well, I grew up here in Colorado. I'm in Denver. And my mom was a housewife, so she was always in the house doing a lot of creative things, from sewing to crafting to baking, so on and so forth. And I got a lot of my creative experience at an early age, and it just carried through with me into my adult age. But I took the corporate route, you know, as a means of making a living for myself and my children. Mm-hmm. However, as you mentioned, corporate America wasn't that very nice to me in the end, and I went through some racial discrimination that took me out of the workplace for a while, but that really channeled me to look inwardly and figure out what I needed to do next. And that basically pushed me into my creative mode, and I ultimately ended up with the paint and sip concept and created my studio.
Going back to 2013, that was a rough year. You were in the midst of of that career in corporate America. You went through what had to have been an absolutely traumatic and painful experience. Can you reflect on that time a little bit? What were some of your emotions during that time? How did you manage to persevere through that?
It was absolutely the worst time of my life because I had never experienced racial discrimination myself. I always read about it, mm-hmm. or maybe even heard of someone else's experience, but I had never been subjected to it myself personally. And this, it was targeted. It was definitely a route to try to take me out of that particular company, in which it ended up doing just that. Racial slurs, racial remarks in meetings and telephone calls and emails. And so I went out of the corporate office just to kind of work on my mental part of it, because it was so devastating and I didn't know how to handle it. My first thought process was to get physical, just because it hurt that bad, and I'm not a physical person.
It's that fight or flight instinct. We all have it.
Yes. Yeah. But I knew if I took that route that would end me, certainly. Mm-hmm. And so I just went out quietly, and I took some time off to try to evaluate everything that had happened and how to move forward. And I really just could not find a path forward to stick with that company. And I knew that the damage that it had caused, that I didn't want to work in corporate America ever again. So I was basically on a leave for almost 3 years. Mm. And so it totally wrecked my life financially. It had a major physical toll, and mentally. It was absolutely the worst thing that I ever had been a part of. But it was also during that 3 years that I discovered my true self and my purpose and my passion.
People don't realize the seismic shift in identity that takes place when you leave a career and embark on a new journey, particularly when there was trauma attached to the previous one. Can you take me through some of the reflections and growth that you did experience from 2013 to 2016? How did you kind of emerge from that?
Yeah, it was very difficult. But one thing that I knew for sure was I had to keep my mental strong, because it had broken me down so far. You know, it kind of put me in a state of depression, but I couldn't really allow that to consume me, because I still had children to raise. Mm-hmm. I still had to look forward to the future. And so, like I said, I made sure that I stayed on top of my mental health by getting therapy and just surrounding myself with friends and family, and being able to still get out and about in the world. I didn't have the vision yet to go into business for myself, and meaning I didn't know exactly what path I was going to take. But when I finally came to the conclusion that I wanted to do a sip and paint, that's when life started looking beautiful and bright again. And I could put one foot in front of the other and start really building and focusing on my business and actually close the book in the chapter of corporate.
It's what I like to call the divine nudge, you know, whether you call it God, whether you call it inspiration, absolutely, whatever it is, there's just this internal light that emerges that gives you a sense of purpose.
Yes.
It's one thing to have that dream, that spark of inspiration. It's a whole nother to execute towards that vision. What was the moment where you realized, you know what, I can do this and I have a plan and this is how I'm going to execute? Was there a light bulb moment or was it a slow progression?
There was a light bulb moment because I had started looking into different franchise opportunities, again, because I knew I didn't want to go back to corporate. And I was just all over the place, you know, never have having owned a business before. I did have business sense and knowledge just from being in corporate America. And that's one great thing that I can say that I took from that,
yeah,
that I was able to easily incorporate into business. So I would go and look at different online, like looking at different franchise opportunities. I didn't have a dime to my name,
yeah,
but there was this burning desire that I needed to be a business owner. When I came across the paint and sip concept, which was a franchise,
yeah,
I knew that I could do that. I just knew in my heart of hearts that I could do a paint and sip concept, but I didn't want to be a part of a franchise. I wanted to be independent because I wanted to build my studio and business from the ground up the way that I envisioned it, the way that I wanted it to be. And from there, I just started. I had a million and one sticky notes everywhere. I had notebooks and notebooks full of notes and ideas. And I would, again, I didn't have a dime to my name, but I would go and visit, go and look at different empty buildings to try to get an idea of, you know, what that would look like financially, mm-hmm, to see if I could see myself in that space and what I could bring to that space. I would go to places like Ross and go in there, their little crafty areas, and buy different things that I would want to see in my business. It could be something, yeah, as simple as, because I love word art, so I remember buying a lot of word art. It could be a piece for like $6.99, but I would buy it, and I had an office in my home, and that office just became full of stuff that I was going to use in my studio. And at the time, my children, they were like, what is all this stuff for? What are you doing? And they, you know, they didn't have, I would tell them, I'm going to open a business.
Yeah.
And they were scared because, you know, we had the safety net of corporate America that, you know, took care of us, and it took good care of us. But I knew that I'm doing this. I mean, I jumped in with both feet. I didn't have anything to fall back on. And one thing that always sticks with me is at the time I had my middle son, he was going to college.
Oh, wow.
And we were driving him to college, and I was just telling him how proud of him that I was. And, you know, just telling him, by the time you come home for Christmas break, you know, the business should be going good and everything. I said, but, you know, I'm going to still be looking for other things to do just in case. I said, you always got to have a plan B. And my son looked at me square in the eyes and said, Mom, if you're worried about a plan B, it's because you don't believe in your plan A enough. And that just shook me to my core. And it really just propelled me into focusing on my plan A and not giving any thought to a plan B, because I had to trust myself and trust the plans that I had put in place, and more so trust God that I was making the right moves.
There's such an allure to entrepreneurship, that idea of being your own boss. And, you know, the cliche, they say, you know, if you have a job, you work 40 hours a week, but if you own a business, you're never off the clock.
Right.
what has been your experience? Are you able to find some sort of balance, or has that been kind of your experience since 2017?
Well, you know, being an entrepreneur, it is work. You know, when people ask me about it, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. It's definitely not for just hobbyists. Mm-hmm. If this is going to be your lifestyle, it is work. You have to be willing to put in the blood, the sweat, and the tears. And with me, because I'm working in my passion and my purpose, a lot of times it doesn't feel like work. Now, when I have to do the heavy lifting by myself, you know, actual heavy lifting, yes, of course that's work. But when I have people in my studio and we're instructing classes and having a great time and people are smiling and vibing and loving the energy, it's wonderful. It's not work. And that's what most of my days are like, dealing with the business outside of all of the back office stuff, which is work. But again, I'm working within my purpose and passion. So I love it. And it's what God has designed for me.
You're proud to be a Black business owner. You're proud to lead a woman-owned business as well. How does your identity shape the vision and offerings of Different Strokes Paint & Sip?
Well, in the beginning, I'll be totally transparent. In the beginning, I had a lot of anger still from what happened to me in corporate America. So my vision was, I'm gonna get my studio and it's gonna be all Black art and I'm gonna, you know, just do everything Black. And I'm going to cater to the Black community. And it was just all things Black. And I told myself, and then I'm going to go back to that company and do a team building with it. And it took some time for me to come out of that and realize that that's not the route to go when you're in business. You have to be open and inclusive to everyone because you're trying to earn a living. And you can't do that just trying to be so specific to one culture. So I had to let go of all of that anger and hurt that had happened and really open myself up and build my studio around all things beauty, in which that is exactly what it looks like now, because I have art for everyone, for every culture, for every liking, for every lifestyle. And it's you know, from all of the pain, I'm now surrounded by nothing but beauty every day.
But with that being said, it's beautiful that you've embraced the inclusion. You know, you do represent something that's very important, and that is a platform for Black artists, Absolutely. A platform for Black art. Mm-hmm. And you do provide a space where maybe traditionally the community didn't see themselves in those kinds of businesses, and now they do, with that unique vibe that only a Black business owner can provide.
Absolutely. And I do. I love the fact that I'm able to incorporate my culture into my business. When you come to my studio, you're going to see a lot of Black art on the walls. You're going to hear R&B and hip hop. You're going to be able to sip on drinks that, you know, a lot of African Americans like. The vibe is going to be totally different than any other sip and paint here in Colorado, because as far as I'm aware, I'm the only Black owned sip and paint in Colorado. As of late, I believe that there's another one that opened up in the Fort Collins area. But when we speak of the seven county metropolitan area, I am the only Black owned, not BIPOC, Black owned. And I take pride in being a Black woman owned business. It shows all throughout my studio. It shows all throughout my work. So I'm proud. I display that and I represent that through my artwork, through my instructors. I have a strong belief in you should definitely look like what you're painting, meaning a lot of the other sip and paints. I see them creating a lot of Black art, but it's not a Black artist instructing it. To me, that's kind of contradictive. But I really focus on, I want my art to represent myself, and I want my studio to be representative of who I am.
How do you go about attracting artists to your studio?
It's so wild that I have the most talented and skilled instructors, and they happen to be Black. And I didn't, you know, set out to hire only Black artists. Mm-hmm. And I'm never going to do that.
Right.
But I've never had to post a Craigslist ad or go on Indeed or anything like that to find instructors. Somehow or another, they flow right to me.
Okay.
And it just, you know, a lot of matches were just made. Some didn't work out, but some are still standing since day one. And I even have associate artists that still create for the studio. They may not instruct because they have like a full-time job or whatever, but they still create for the studio. My artists always flow to me.
It's a network, it's a community. You're building something that's even bigger than you probably imagined initially. Where most businesses like this just have beer or wine, you offer a full bar.
Yes, sir.
And non-alcoholic beverages as well. I appreciate those options for sure. Was it more difficult to get a full liquor license, and has that investment paid dividends?
Oh my goodness. The city of Aurora and the state of Colorado makes it very, very clear that obtaining a liquor license is not a right. It is a privilege. So just because you have the money and the credentials does not necessarily mean that you're going to get one. So it's an honor to have a liquor license. I do not take that lightly, that I've been able to hold my liquor license for all these years. It's definitely, it definitely helped set me apart from other sipping paints, because as far as I know, the other sipping paints just had beer and wine licenses. I knew going in, I wanted to go all in and mm-hmm. have a full license, because most people that I interact with don't just drink beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely another extension of my business, and it definitely does help generate revenue.
Some of the offerings that you have beyond the studio that are really impressive is painting on the beach at Aurora Reservoir. Yes, we do have a beautiful beach in Aurora. If you haven't been to Aurora Reservoir, you got to check it out.
Right.
You also do mobile classes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so important that you offer these unique experiences that others can't match?
Well, because, I mean, when you come to my studio, it's a complete experience in itself. So we always love to host in our studio. But art is so universal. I love to get out in, you know, outdoors and be able to set up in different environments. And it's a great attraction for different types of customers. Like you say, we don't have an actual beach here in Colorado, but whenever we do a sip and paint on the beach, we get a lot of people that come out because it's different. And we don't mind packing up the studio to go to different venues or different locations and do events. It's, again, another extension of our business that sets us apart.
One of the things I love that I read on your website is that you offer classes to people age 7 to 97.
Right.
I imagine there's an added emphasis to expose kids, particularly young girls of color, not only to art that resonates with their heritage, but to your staff of artists that look like them. And you as a business owner, do you feel that sense of responsibility, particularly to the young people that come to your space?
Absolutely. Being a Black woman, I don't have girls, but I definitely always want to be an inspiration to young Black girls so that they can have positive reinforcement, so that they can, you know, you have to always try to put our young Black children and youth in spaces that's representative of them. And my space is positive, it's warm, it's inviting. It's it has artwork for children that's representative of them. Their instructor is 9 times out of 10 gonna look like them. So as they can really resonate with the artwork, with the instructor, with the vibe of the environment, and it's a good time for them. And then they also want to continue to come back.
You're also planting those seeds of, oh, this is a potential career opportunity for me.
Absolutely.
As an entrepreneur, an artist, as somebody who just wants to build a community of people
Absolutely.
That is safe and creative. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And you're kind of planting those seeds for these young people, I think, without even directly intentioning to do that. It's one of the dividends that comes from an endeavor like yours, that vision that you had. 2020 pandemic hits.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally an in-person entertainment experience. How did you manage to survive that time? And what are some of the lessons that you took during those years?
Oh, that was a very, very, very rough period that I still haven't fully recovered from. Being an in-person experience, we had to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And shutting down meant no revenue. Just because there wasn't revenue did not mean that those bills weren't still due.
Right.
But fortunately, I'm blessed enough to have a landlord that really worked with us during the pandemic. You know, they offset payments for a while, or, you know, whatever you needed as a business owner, they really stepped in to try to work with you so that your business wouldn't fail during that time. The city of Aurora, you know, helped with grants. Different organizations, nonprofit organizations stepped up and, you know, gave us different amounts for grants and everything. And, you know, during that time, it would be, okay, you can open up, but you can only have 4 or 5, or you can open up, but you have to have 6 feet of space around everyone. That doesn't work for my concept. That doesn't work for my studio. So that's really when I started saying, let's take this outside. Therefore, I don't have to be completely closed down, because when the pandemic hit, we were still in the winter months.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to survive. But when those summer months hit and I said, let me pivot and go outside. And then I pivoted and I started creating virtual classes and creating paint kits. It's just, you know, you had to be able to pivot, or you were going to sink. And I refused to sink. So it was with a lot of help and a lot of assistance and my ability to adapt and pivot and just keep moving. That kept me afloat, and I'm so grateful and thankful that I did. But like I said, you know, there's still a lot of damage left over from being out of business, you know, for months at a time. So still standing, but still trying to build and grow.
2019, you're building momentum, yes. And then you kind of have to start from the beginning.
Yes.
Do you ever take time thinking back, you know, to 2013, to 2017, and then going through the pandemic? Do you take time to reflect and kind of honor your resiliency? Or are you so focused on what's next that you haven't had time to really reflect and kind of pat yourself on the back?
Oh, fortunately, I'm surrounded by a lot of great people that, you know, push me and encourage me and support me and compliment me. And they let me know that I'm doing a good job and keep going and what I offer the world needs. And that's inspiration for me to keep going. I'm just the type of person, I'll just keep working and working until burnout. That's not good. And I'm really trying to change that. But at the end of the day, I am all I have. I do not have a partner. So therefore, it all falls back on me and I refuse to fail. So I work when I have to work. I work when I maybe don't have to work. But I do have to start focusing more on self-care and pulling back and allowing others to help me more, because that is a weakness that I have, is trying to do everything myself, because that's just kind of how I've conditioned myself as a protection mode. So I'm really trying hard now to let my friends and family help when they want to help, and just let the cards fall where they may and trust that I've built something solid.
Looking back, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs, people that are following your path, especially those from underrepresented backgrounds who are looking to start their own business, whether it's in Aurora or elsewhere?
You know, I tell anyone that's aspiring to be an entrepreneur or a business owner to have a plan. Don't just dip out and think that it's all going to come together, because 9 times out of 10, it's not. And I encourage people to keep your day job. Keep your day job. Keep that safety net until you can take that plunge. Because otherwise, it's typical to fail. It's typical to fail more than once, more than twice, trying to be a business owner or an entrepreneur. So if you have a safety net, keep it. Mm-hmm. Keep it for as long. I don't care if it's 10 years. Keep it for as long as you need to until you don't. And my other motto is, be great at what you're good at. You know, don't try to operate outside of your lane. Don't try to do something that someone else is doing, knowing that that's not your passion or something that you're going to be great at. Stay in your lane and be great at what you're good at, and keep that job if you have one. And if not, get one. You know, let your job fund your dreams. And that's the best advice that I can give. And I think that it's sound advice, because I too have had to take on other public jobs while being in business to make sure that I stayed afloat. It has not been easy. I have not just been able to work on my business. I've had to take on other jobs to make ends meet, to make sure that my business didn't fail. So do what you have to do to get out of working for someone else if that's what you want to do. And staying on a job, working a job, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everybody is not cut out to own a business. Everybody should not own a business, because who's going to be the customers? So be great at what you're good at, no matter what that is. Climb that corporate ladder. You know, if that's what you're great at, you know, climb that corporate ladder. But if you want to be in business, make sure that you have a solid plan and work your plan every single day.
Love that. One of the things I love about the classes is, sure, you might go on a date night or meet with a group of friends, but during the time of the class, you meet all these new friends and you're vibing to the music, you're laughing. It's not just art class with a drink. It becomes a shared community experience. Mm-hmm. How good does it feel to see a group of strangers emerge from one of your classes as a new group of friends?
Oh my God, that completely warms my heart, because it happens so often. You can have a 2 or 3 different groups of people in the studio at one time, and everybody's vibing out and having a good time, laughing and talking and looking at each other's artwork and critiquing each other. And, you know, once we get to taking pictures and videos, and we always try to do we try to have people get up and dance.
Nice.
Just because some people come in with the idea that they're going to be Picasso during class.
They put pressure on themselves.
They put a whole lot of pressure on themselves, mm-hmm. which can be very harmful because if you're sitting there and you're not breathing, you're stressed out about this painting and you're sweating and not breathing, you can pass out. You're not there. You're not going to be judged. There's no big prize. There's not a $500 prize at the end. So it's entertainment. It's an experience. You're there to have fun no matter what your painting comes out looking like. And some people never even get to the end of their painting because they're having so much fun in the studio doing other things.
It's funny to see that dynamic, though. You see these personality traits come out of people, whether it's hyper-competitiveness or this perfectionist or just I'm just out with my girls having a great time. It's got to be really fun to kind of see those dynamics play out.
It really warms my heart and just interacting with, you know, the different people that come in and, you know, you get to learn a little bit about them for the 2 hours that they're there, 2 hours or more, because some people want to, you know, sit a little longer. But it's really fun and interesting, and it's the customers love it, but I love it even more.
It's one of those experiences where you do it, and even if you're not particularly artistic, you say, that was fun, I should do that more often. And then too much time passes between visits. What strategies do you employ for marketing and promoting, not only to get new visitors, but to get those repeat ones too?
My repeat customers, my loyal customers, I don't have to do a lot of work with them.
Yeah.
They love my studio. They love the energy and vibe that we bring, and they just come back for, it can just be just because, or they'll come back for a particular occasion. I don't have challenges with the repeat and the loyal customers. Getting new customers in is my challenge and has always been the challenge because, of course, small businesses don't have the budget for, you know, marketing and advertising like larger corporations or franchises do that, you know, that are backing you and that can get the word out more easily and widespread. So I try to do different, I mean, just marketing and like using social media is a challenge because you can't get so far ahead of yourself because you need to put out what you're doing from week to week, you know, in order to try to gain interest of people coming in. So I can't like put out a monthly calendar and think that's it for the month.
Right.
Every week I'm having to post what's going on this weekend or what's going on this week and put some highlights in there about, you know, this particular class, I really want to fill it up, or I'll create a specific thing to it. I'll say, hey, it's ladies night, or I've added a lot of new projects for 2024 alone. And with that, I added a discount to where if you bring in a private party, all you have to do is make a few phone calls, send a few texts, send a few emails to get 10 people to join you, and your seat is absolutely free.
Nice.
Who wouldn't take advantage of that?
Right.
You get to come out and have fun and a wonderful experience for free. And so I figure that that's a great way to try to market to new people. And then they come out and have their good time for free. And then hopefully within those 10 people, they'll want to do something with a, you know, another group of, it could be the same group of people. But that's one way that I've tried to attract new customers.
It's painting, it's sipping, but it's elevated with vibe, it's elevated with music, it's got a better selection of drinks, it's got art that resonates with the community. I mean, it's such a fun environment. Looking ahead, what are your future goals and aspirations for Different Strokes Paint and Sip, and how do you envision the business evolving in the coming years?
My vision is to grow and expand, meaning I'm moving into different markets. I would love to have more than one location here in Colorado, but I definitely envision seeing my studio in other states. Other states that are more, that have more culture, maybe like in Atlanta, Houston, Washington, places like that. But I really just want to create a brand overall that I can go into any market and thrive. And I want, my goal is, and which I'm doing now and working on, is making it more of a creative space, not just sip and paint. I want to have a lot of different offerings to where you have all kinds of projects and crafts to pick from, not just sip and paint. So just creating something that's going to continue to give me longevity and always something fresh and new and exciting.
We love business owners that are creating positivity in our city. Daphne Rose, you're doing an incredible job. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
That was Daphne Rose, owner of Different Strokes Paint and Sip at 2300 South Chambers Road in Aurora. That's right at Chambers and Iliff. Make sure you find out more online at DifferentStrokesPaintAndSip.com. And make sure to follow along on social media at Different Strokes Aurora.
Yay!
Thank you for listening to the Gateway to the Rockies podcast. Visit Aurora is the official destination marketing organization for the city of Aurora, Colorado, and acts as the primary liaison between meeting planners and hotel partners. As Aurora's convention and visitors bureau, Visit Aurora's mission is grounded in showcasing Aurora as a premier destination for meetings, business, and leisure travel. Visit Aurora represents more than 75 plus hotel properties with 13,500 plus guest rooms and more than 1 million square feet of meeting space, including Colorado's largest resort, Gaylord Rockies Resort and Convention Center. As Colorado's third largest city, Aurora is located minutes away from Denver International Airport and showcases mountain views, memorable meeting spaces, and 250 plus international eateries that offer a unique experience for each and every visitor. As the gateway to the Rockies, Visit Aurora's role in the local community goes beyond marketing the city as a destination. The Visit Aurora team is here to assist you with your Colorado visit, from facilitating your meeting, event, or convention to helping you discover local flavor and attractions. Go beyond the boardroom in Aurora, Colorado. For more, visit us at visitaurora.com.